Hey, everyone. This is Rob Motti. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Faith on a Field Show. If you want to hear any of our previous episodes, please check out our website, faithonafieldshow.com. You can also subscribe on every major podcast channel like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, and TuneIn. Please like, share, and leave a review so others can find out about the show. We appreciate your support, and here is this week's episode presented by Cairn University.
This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy Motti, the two of us again this week, and we have two guests, Seattle Seahawks wide receiver DK Metcalf and my AP colleague Larry Lage, who started a fundraiser for freelance journalists a couple months ago when the pandemic hit, and it's really helped out so many people who've been impacted by sports shutting down. It's helped them in a small way financially. Yeah. But it's also been a source of hope. So we're going to hear from Larry later in the show, and DK is coming up next segment. We're going to talk about, and this is great because this was kind of on your heart to talk about it. Yeah. And we're going to talk about God's provision on the show. Who is your source? Who is your provider? So many people have been impacted in tremendous ways during this pandemic, and lives have been lost. And of course, we got to pray for those families of the loved ones who passed away, but also jobs have been lost, businesses have been lost, the economy's crashing, so it's a difficult, challenging time for sure, but there is hope, and we've talked about that in every episode we've done since this all unfolded in March. There is hope, there is a way when we realize that God is our provider. He is our ultimate source. In journalism, we talk about sourcing. We talk about where are you getting? You got to have good sources. God is our ultimate source. You know, imagine if he can tell journalists what's really going on. And if you look for clues, you look for ways. But I want to go to this Bible passage, and it's Jesus talking in Matthew 6:25-34, because we take parts of this out, but I'm going to read the whole thing, and I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation, which I love that you got me reading.
I love the Passion
Translation. I like NIV, NLT, and the Passion Translation. But this is from the Passion. It's Jesus speaking in Matthew 6:25-34, and it says, "This is why I tell you to never be worried about your life, for all that you need will be provided, such as food, water, clothing, everything your body needs. Isn't there more to your life than a meal? Isn't your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. Do you think they worry about their existence? They don't plant or reap or store up food, yet your heavenly Father provides them each with food. Aren't you much more valuable to your Father than they? So which one of you, by worrying, could add anything to your life? And why would you worry about your clothing? Look at the beautiful flowers of the field. They don't work or toil, and yet not even Solomon in all his splendor was robed in beauty more than one of these. So if God has clothed the meadow with hay, which is here for such a short time, and then dried up and burned, won't he provide for you the clothes you need, even though you live with such little faith? So then, forsake your worries. Why would you say, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? For that is what the unbelievers chase after. Doesn't your heavenly Father already know the things your bodies require? So above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him. Then all these important things will be given to you abundantly. Refuse to worry about tomorrow, but deal with each challenge that comes your way one day at a time. Tomorrow will take care of itself." Oh my goodness, there's so much in there.
There's so much in there. You know what like caught me right there is the realm of God's kingdom. The realm of God's kingdom. Because if you understand what that realm offers us, it's just so incredible. There's so much in that realm of the supernatural, the realm of the heavens, the heavenly realm. It's you can't wrap your mind around what we can and cannot have in there. It's just everything is ours to begin with, but we need to access it. And how do you access the realm of God? How do you access the realm of the kingdom? you stay closer and closer to God. And when you stay closer to Him, the realm of the kingdom gets closer to you, and you live from heaven on earth, not the other way around.
You know, it's funny because you look at this and there's so much into it, right?
Yeah.
And you go right to the realm of the kingdom of God, yeah, which is right there at the end.
Caught me, yeah.
And what catches me, of course, that's what it's about. That's what he's getting to. I was focused initially on the worry part, right?
Because I don't worry. That's
see, we all you're not telling the truth. We all do.
I worry, but it's more like I get super annoyed with things.
Yeah.
And like. Yeah, so it's not necessarily like I worry about it. Like,
but
oh,
what Jesus is saying here is like this is life changing kind of stuff when it says worrying, and we ought to know this, right? Mm-hmm. We ought to know worrying. It can't add anything to your life. Of course not. It doesn't add anything to your life. Yeah. Worrying doesn't feed us. It doesn't clothe us. It doesn't make us happy. Mm-hmm. It doesn't help us in any way. But by worrying, that could be detrimental to your health for sure, because it can cause anxiety. It can damage your relationships with others. It can damage, I think it damages your relationship with the Lord.
Right.
Because by worry, you're putting less trust in Him. You're saying I have less faith in you because I'm worried, but not concerned. I want to get to that part. Worrying also can rob us of opportunities. Mm-hmm. I think worrying will strip you of joy and peace that you have in your heart. Because when you're worried, right, there's an element of peace that it robs you, that takes away from you. Yeah. The joy that you want to have in the moment, if there's something that you're worried about, mm-hmm. right, that joy in the moment that you want to have, that you want to enjoy, it's you can't fully grasp it. You can't really completely live in that moment because you're worried about something. You're thinking about something. But here's what I wanted to get to. There's a difference between worry and concern. Yeah. And I think that's what, you know, you were trying to talk about, right? Yeah. Because while worrying really has, it's got negative results, concern, I think concern is helpful because it allows you to give something careful thought. So if something concerns you, you give it careful thought. We plan well because we're concerned about something. Concern leads us to focus in a healthy way on those things that need our attention.
Yeah.
Whereas worrying will lead us to unhealthy. Like concern can lead to healthy and be productive. Worrying can lead to an unhealthy anxiety. Ultimately, mm-hmm. what Jesus is getting to here is saying that God knows what we need.
Mm-hmm.
And if we will make ourselves sick if we worry about everything that's happening around us.
Yeah.
So I don't think that means we can't be careless and just reckless and then go, all right, well, God's going to bail me out.
No.
That's kind of stupid. You got to use your brains. You got to be smart. You got, as we're going through this, it doesn't mean you go up to people as they, you know, maskless and cough on them and all that. God's going to bail me out. That's idiotic. But if you believe that God has it under control.
Mm-hmm.
For those of us who have faith, who've surrendered to Him, we don't have to worry then about anything. So if we worry about the things of the world, we talk about this so often, right? The things of the world. I talk about it like mainly two, three times episodes every month. And we talk about fame, fortune, status, popularity. These are the things that aren't important. So God is concerned with our heart, our faith, and really the only thing that we need is Him.
Mm-hmm.
We need food, we need water, but Jesus isn't saying don't work for those things.
Mm-hmm.
But He's saying now what you were talking about. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be provided for you. So God is our ultimate provider. He's our source of provision.
Right.
And if we seek Him first, Him first, as you were saying, because that's what jumped out at you, mm-hmm. and that's ultimately what's the most important part in here, we won't have to worry about everything else.
The thing is, with this verse too, you have to have flexible faith when it comes to your daily life. Like flexible our daily faith. Right? Yeah, our daily life needs to be flexible. Like what you were saying, planning your life. Yeah, you should plan. I'm all like I love planning and I love being in control. But I also have to be flexible. And that flexibility lets God do the provision part. Because if I'm not letting him in at all, and I don't have, if I don't give him an inch of my life, and I don't give him an inch of my trust, then there will be no room for provision. Like when things happen, like what's happening right now around us in the mm-hmm. world with this whole pandemic thing, did anybody plan for that?
No.
But God's provision happened where he is allowing things to come together. He's allowing different people to work together. He's allowing the medical field to work something out. He's mm-hmm. allowing, banks to work with people. He's allowing things, provision. Yes. There's provision. So yeah, sometimes,
I like where you're going with
you
that.
You see what
yeah.
I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. so we can trust in that provision, we can trust in that flexibility, because if we have always just set our mind to do 1, 2, 3 and never anything else in between, God will never have room in our lives to just come in and provide something that we can never even expect. Like if you're going to plan everything with no flexibility and no provision or no room for provision, God will not have room for to just invade your daily life and show you who he really is, because you give him no room. You give him no access point. Mm-hmm. But you give yourself all the trust. You're trusting now.
Well, in that goes back to Proverbs 3:5-6, right?
You're just like
trusting the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Trust in him.
Yeah, so we really have to try to do that. And I was thinking about this morning. That's why I came up with this topic, is that sometimes we find ourselves between a rock and a hard place. Like there is no way out. No, if you look left, there is blocks. You look right, there is blocks. And you're feeling so stuck and you're feeling like there is no way out. And then you just let it all go and you pray. And when you pray, you just say, God, show me your provision with this problem. Mm. And all of a sudden, he shows you this provision that you never thought possible, that you never thought it would even be allowed for you, or something that would come through for you. And you're like, whoa, that was a cool provision. I never even thought possible. But because I prayed. Uh-huh. And that's the realm that we're talking about here.
Yeah.
The realm of the kingdom gives that provision, gives that access point of like something you've never thought possible.
I love how you bring that up, because it's a perfect segue into what Larry did, starting this fundraiser, which for him began with praying about it one night. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was praying about it one night, and how prayer leads you to action sometimes, right?
Absolutely.
Prayer will lead you to actively live out your faith. Yeah, now, I want to touch quickly on some of what you were talking about with God's provision. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes there's confusion where we feel like provision means providing us with something we want.
And
that's if that is what we're looking for, like that Ferrari or that Lamborghini or that $2 million house on the beach that you were eyeing up the other day, right?
No.
If that drops in your life, that's not God's provision. No. See, sometimes we have to...
A Ferrari is not a rock and a hard place. It is just definitely not.
Right? No, God's provision can come in things that we take for granted.
Right.
So maybe your car that isn't a Ferrari,
right,
has held up just fine this past year, hasn't needed any work except gas and oil changes. Mm-hmm. And have you... It takes a different look at it from another perspective and to go, well, thank you, Lord, because I didn't... You know, I didn't have to put any money into doing anything to it. Or maybe we all have household appliances. We have heating and air conditioning and things. What if they hold up without repair?
Right.
You can look at that as that's God's provision, because it's not about providing you with the things of the world that you want.
Yeah.
It's about providing you with what you need. But ultimately, what he wants you to do is to seek him first.
Yeah.
And if we're seeking him, if we're putting him in the middle of everything that we do in our lives. And I sometimes we often say putting him first, right? Mm-hmm. Put him in the middle.
Yeah.
Because if you put him first, which is a great thing to say, but sometimes when you have first, second, third, fourth, you move on, right? Okay, mm-hmm. God's first. Now I woke up, I prayed, I put him aside, and then I do two, three, four, five. You put him in the middle of everything, right? You don't just give him prayer time in the morning, prayer time at night, a little Bible study here, but you put him in the middle. We put him in the middle of everything we do, and this is something that I consistently have to work on because I don't always put him in the middle. Sometimes I want to take control of what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I want to take control of how I want to shape things and I want to form things, and I'm not relying on his control and his provision.
I'm to the point, I think I trained myself to every thought possible has to include him. Like when I'm thinking something positive, I thank him. When I'm thinking something negative, I say, Jesus, please correct this. If something is not working out, I just pray. It's not, to me, it's not a prayer. To me, it's a dialogue. It's everyday dialogue.
I love that. It's a conversation.
It's a conversation. Constant. Sometimes I joke around. Like it's becoming a very funny thing for me because I joke around sometimes. I'll be like, just like talking to him and I'm saying something and I feel like it's just a funny thing and I just laugh because I feel like I laugh with the Holy Spirit sometimes. I giggle, I laugh, I have fun. I don't think of it as prayer. I think of it as just like having a conversation with my best friend. That's just how I train myself.
That's a great way to look at it, though.
Yeah, and that's how I love to live my life. And I find it pretty awesome because he's involved in every aspect. And I'm to the point now, and I'm not saying I mastered this, but I'm just saying that I come to the point that I feel like he really listens to everything I say. And I know he does, but like for real, because prayers be answered like right away.
you keep a checklist of prayers answered, prayers answered. Let's keep it real for everybody who's listening. Those prayers aren't necessary.
It's just
random.
It's the most random thing.
Anything, the most random thing, which you are so good at and I'm not. That's what I'm talking about by keeping him in the middle of everything.
Write it down.
I don't need to ask for a prayer for this little, like a parking space. Pray over everything. Everything.
Because it's dialogue for me. Yeah. It's not prayer for me. It's just talking to my best friend.
I'm like,
friend.
Oh, I'm not going to bother God about a parking spot right now.
Oh, I do.
Just whatever. And you're like,
hook me up with something good so I don't have to walk in the rain, please. And he does. It's just what I do. It's what I love to do. And I feel like I'm talking to my best friend, and my best friend answers back. And it's just the most incredible dynamic between us. And I love, and I think that's what he wants from all of us, really. He wants to be in a relationship where you're that close.
Yeah.
You're that close to him. It's kind of like you and me. Like, I'm expecting to tell you everything, and you expect to tell me everything. And I'm expecting you to read my mind, and you do.
Sometimes.
You do a pretty good job.
Yeah.
And I read yours.
Well, happy anniversary
too.
On air. How about that? Thank you, happy honey. 8 years.
We made it 8 years.
How about that?
Yeah. So it's the same dynamic. It's just he wants you to always be in a dialogue with him. Mm-hmm. Not that you come first and my kids second. It's like you're into everything.
He's in the middle.
He's in the middle.
That's why I don't like numbering things and I going, okay, this is 1, 2, 3, because sometimes you just move on.
Then you're
going to
put him on a shelf then. Number one, done.
Right.
Check. Him on a shelf.
Took care of that.
Next, you know. He doesn't want that.
Real quick, because we only have a little bit left here in this segment. Prayer leading to provision. Mm-hmm. Prayer leading to action. Prayer, it is so crucial. It is so important to lay it all out, like you were saying, right? Mm-hmm. You pray for everything, but when something's troubling you, mm-hmm. when something is concerning you, you're not worried about it, right? Mm-hmm. But concerning you, mm-hmm. prayer. That's prayer is all day long. You got that.
That's our open.
Here's the thing: like we have an open line of communication with God.
Oh, yeah, all day, every day. And you know one thing you should really do, and I think this is what I do. But honestly, if someone is listening to me, this is how I practice this, and this mm-hmm. is how it encourages you to do this more. Write your prayers down, and then when they get answered, which however they got answered, because sometimes he answered them in a really odd way, but then it turns out to be great. So write that answer down. And then mm-hmm. when you look back at the answer, you're like, whoa, this is pretty cool because it makes more sense that he answered it this way. And then when you look back at answers, it encourages you to write more and pray more. And then you find yourself basically praying all day long because you're like, oh, this is pretty amazing to have this kind of conversation and this kind of connection. So that's what I did, and that's what worked for me.
Listen, it's a difficult time for people. It's a challenging time for a lot of people, mm-hmm. and we look for answers all over. We're always seeking answers. We're mm-hmm. always trying to find answers. People are concerned about paying bills. People are concerned yeah. about their job. There's so many different things that you can be concerned about mm-hmm. right now. But the point that we're trying to get across today and hopefully encourage you with is that God is our ultimate source. He is our ultimate provider. Mm-hmm. He is the one who gives the provision. Mm-hmm. And if we rely on him, if we fully surrender to him, if we trust in him fully, mm-hmm. you don't have to worry about all these other things. It will take care of itself. It doesn't mean quit your job or don't look for a job and suddenly like manna from heaven, money's going to come floating down at you. No, you have to take care of what you have to take care of. Put your trust in him.
Yeah. And don't. He's a detour master. He really is. He's a detour master. He's really good at that.
Amen. Yeah. Up next, we're going to hear from Seattle Seahawks wide receiver DK Metcalf. You're listening to Faith on the Field show presented by Karen University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Karen University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and his word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Karen is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Karen is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at karen.edu/visit.
This is Emma Smith. You're listening to Faith on the Field show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field show, presented by Karen University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy. If you missed any of our past episodes, go to faithonthefieldshow.com. You can find every show and listen anytime at your convenience. We're also on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn. We're on Podbean and iTunes, of course. You can also find us on Twitter and Instagram and follow us on Facebook at Faith on the Field. So sign up for our weekly email list there, and you can get our weekly episode delivered right to your inbox. Make sure you also follow us on all our social media platforms. I am at Rob Motti, except Instagram, where it's at Real Rob Motti. Remy is at Remy Motti, and Kyle is at Kyle J. Horner. We will let you know on social about speaking appearances and other events that we're hosting. Remy's Mother's Day virtual sermon at Abundant Life Ministries Philadelphia was shared on Facebook Live on her page. It's on my page. It's on Faith on the Field's page. I shared a virtual sermon last weekend at Franklinville United Methodist Church in Newfield, UMC. My message was titled The New and Improved Normal, and that's available on my YouTube channel, so you can listen to the whole thing there if you just go to Rob Motti YouTube. I just had the honor of delivering the commencement speech at Valley Forge Baptist Academy. Incredible school, awesome students. My message on passion, purpose, perspective, positivity, perseverance, and peace is also up on my YouTube channel, and there are several clips on social media, so you can check all of those out. Really excited to share that with everyone out there. It's not just for the class of 2020, it's for all of you, so I hope you would check that out for sure. Our first guest this week is Seattle Seahawks wide receiver DK Metcalf. Last month after the NFL draft, DK, along with Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback Gardner Minshew and San Francisco 49ers linebacker Azeez El-Shaair, also They were panelists for a discussion during the league's first rookie webinar. Everything's got to be done virtually now. And they did a rookie webinar. 547 players participated. And DK was one of those guys who was a panelist. He talked about his experiences. He shared with them as a first year, as a rookie with these guys. So I spoke to him about it. I wrote a story about it. And we also talked about his faith. So here is that interview with DK Metcalf. DK, what was some of the best advice that you received coming in as a rookie? And what are you sharing with some of the guys now as they're coming into the league?
The best advice is probably, I think Mo told us in our rookie meet. It was like on the first day of meetings, I think on the, during the team meeting, don't sit nowhere. Let everybody come in first and sit down, and then you find your seat last. Yeah. So that really just set the tone for what kind of, you know, year and how I was going to approach everything. Just wait my turn, soak up as much knowledge from the vets that's basically it.
I'm sure guys have a lot of questions about money, finances, and you had a lot of different rookies on that call. Some are first round picks who are getting paid, and some might have been, I know, were undrafted free agents who don't have that financial security. DK, what do you tell these guys, like, how to be wise with their money, and how are you learning?
I told them make sure they know where their money is going. Mm-hmm. I know it's a couple of documentaries, you know, saying how you should watch your money and how, you know, these first rounders have gone broke and all of that. But, you know, the easiest way to manage that is just to know where your money is going and who has control of it. So I just told them to just, you know, be proactive and know where your money is going, how you're spending it. Told them to get a budget, and that's pretty much it. You know, at the end of the day, you can only tell somebody so much about what to do with their stuff. So, you know, I'm not trying to step on any toes or get out of line. I'm just, you know, telling them just to watch out, and yeah. You know, I don't try to say too much of, you know, dealing with other people's stuff.
How are you yourself involved in the community? And how important is that to you? Because I know that's a big part of what the NFL does is making sure you give back and you get involved. And community engagement is certainly a huge thing. How are you doing that?
Well, just trying to upbring the next generation. Mm-hmm. I really don't like to, you know, put on social media or put out on Twitter or anything what I do in the community, because I know I have a good heart, and, you know, whatever I do, I know, you know, it's between me and God, and, you know, whoever is blessing is going to bless. But I just really just try to help people around me. I know my dad did that when he was playing in the league, and he still has a good heart and is still doing it, so just trying to follow in his footsteps.
As far as the challenging times that we're going through now, it's, you know, it's different for rookies. They didn't have a lot of them didn't get an opportunity to have a pro day. They didn't have an opportunity. They couldn't live out the process like you did last year and players before them. Did you find that guys were reaching out to you saying, like, man, I missed out on that? Or have they accepted it and they're, like, just moving on? Hey, I can't wait to get to the next phase of my NFL career. So whatever happened, however I got here, it's all good. I'm here now.
Right. I told some guys that reached out to me, like, it's a good thing and a bad thing, because, you know, the whole, what I learned last year about the whole draft process is people are looking for something bad to point about you, no matter what it is. So, I mean, the less opportunity teams had to, you know, nitpick at the thing that you did wrong was, you know, a better position for you. But for the guys, you know, that didn't get invited to the combine, who only had a chance to show what they could do at pro day. You know, that's the other bad part about it. So, I mean, it's two ways you can look at it. But like I said, man, if it was up to me and I was going through it this year, I probably wouldn't have it.
What do you learn from a guy like Russell? I know he's a guy that is admired all around the league for so much that he does and who he is, not just as a football player, but as a person. What would you say is like the one thing that stands out to you about what you learned from him, or how to kind of handle maybe media or whatever it may be?
How to be a perfectionist. You know, he is probably the most tried to be perfect human being there is on this earth, and, you know, just trying to mimic what he does, and, you know, how he carries his life and how he carries his businesses and how he goes about his work. Him, Bobby, Dwayne Brown, are three of the you know, I look up to them the most on the team because of how they carry themselves on and off the field. And I got to mention Tyler, too, because he helped me through so much. But Tyler's like a big brother to me with how he helped me through my rookie year.
DK, one of the questions Tracy had told me, Tracy Perlman from the NFL, said that a lot of players were asking last week was how to approach, how to handle social media. What advice do you give those younger guys about that?
I told them that, you know, you can't make everybody happy at the end of the day. You know, you're building a brand, and you got to protect that brand. So if somebody, you know, calls you out on Twitter or Instagram, like, you can't respond. Like, use social media as a platform to build your brand. And just, you know, it's going to bring in more opportunities. So, you know, use social media for a positive impact in your life, you know, other people's lives, and not a negative one.
I was just checking your Twitter out. And you posted a few days ago something that I've been talking a lot about. I've been talking a lot about using this time that we have now just to spend it with our family, spend it in our word, getting in the Bible, getting to know God, and really just connecting. And I saw your post saying, I've been thinking God has us in this quarantine for a reason, and for different people, it's different reasons. It's getting close to Him, planning a future. Man, tell me about that, and what moved you to write that, because that's powerful, man.
Well, I'd never like to think of myself as like an athlete or just like a football player. Like, I got like so many more like abilities that I can tap into, and, you know, I'm just using my platform that God blessed me with to reach other people and just to share His word, because, you know, I've gotten a lot of positive impact, a lot of positive messages, you know, saying like, thank you for posting that, and, you know, it just encourages me to do it more. And, you know, like I said, I'm not just an athlete. I want to be a public speaker to try to help the next generation after me, and, you know, just to try to impact the world in a positive manner. That's basically all I'm trying to do.
That was Seahawks wide receiver DK Metcalf. Up next, you're going to hear from my AP colleague, Larry Lage. You are listening to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Cairn University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Cairn prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at cairn.edu.
Hey, this is Jerome Bettis, former running back from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy. I want to take a minute to thank all of our awesome, wonderful sponsors. Please check them out on our website, Cairn University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Oliver Heating and Cooling, Rick Santella, the Senior Vice President at Morgan Stanley, Restelli Foods Group, Norristown Hospitality Center, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, and California Closets. Incredible businesses, awesome people. Make sure you check them out. Our next guest is my AP colleague, Larry Lage. He's based in Michigan. He covers Detroit pro teams and the colleges. When a pandemic hit, Larry organized a fundraiser to benefit freelance journalists who are now out of work. So you can Google freelance sports journalists fundraiser. It'll take you right to the Facebook page where you could donate. Larry's idea, though, it started with prayer. So I wanted him to share that with you and let you know how prayer can really help us get into that spirit of giving. So here is my conversation with my colleague, Larry Lage. Larry, we often talk about on this show, whatever you do for my brothers and sisters, you do for me. It's one of my favorite Bible verses, and it's really just a way of life, a way of living, a way of lifestyle, how you help other people, whether they are in need or if they're not in need. And you put together, since this pandemic hit, an incredible fundraiser to benefit freelance journalists all across the country. Tell everybody about your motivation and what you did, how you started it, and how they can help.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. Thanks for your interest and your support over the years, professionally and personally. I appreciate it. But to answer your question, on what was going to be the night of the first full slate of NCAA tournament games, so whatever that Thursday was, March 13th, something like that, mid-March, I went to bed. And it was clear that day that, you know, things were going to be different. The NCAA tournament was canceled, which, you know, seemed blasphemous before. And now it seems like, yeah, of course it was. But at the time, everything was crumbling in the sports world, or at least going on ice, the NBA, the NHL, spring training. And I went to bed praying that night for my freelance sports journalist friends, particularly those in Detroit. I live in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and know a ton of freelance sports journalists, of course, in the Motor City area and in the middle of the state, close to Michigan State and the Lansing capital city. Long story short, went to bed praying for those people. I woke up thinking about them and laying in my bed. I had tears streaming down my cheeks, and I felt a calling to do something and not just cry and pray and worry. So I put $100 in a Facebook fundraiser that I started for freelance sports journalists. And I had the goal of raising a couple $1,000 with my Facebook friends and acquaintances and sending $300, $400, or $500 to a handful of people that I was praying for. And I really quickly raised a couple $1,000s. Jeff Seidel, a great writer for the Detroit Free Press, wrote a column kind of looking for feel-good stories and thought what I was doing was one. I've done like 10 TV hits from L.A. to San Francisco to Boston, all over Michigan, a bunch of radio hits, different articles, including The Ringer, has shed light on this. And with the grace of God, we have raised nearly $30,000 for more than 100 people from coast to coast. And Rob, 95 of these people I didn't know 3 months ago.
Wow, that's incredible. It's so inspiring, man, and encouraging to see something like this happen. And it started with just prayer, you know, in that quiet time. When we reflect, when we just spend time with our Lord, I think a lot of ideas and a lot of what His will is for us comes through. When did, Larry, you know, I've known you for, now we've both been together at AP for what, 20 years? I started in 2000.
Class of
2000. And I probably only saw you that one time we had a meeting in New York, right?
Yeah, that's it, person to person.
Yeah, so I've come a long way in my journey and in my faith, and it's well documented. I talk about it and everything else. When did your faith really become something that was a driving force in your life?
So my uncle is a Catholic priest. My late great aunt in Italy was a nun for decades, and I grew up not feeling comfortable at Mass. And when I was going through catechism as a kid, my dad told me, you know what, Larry, you don't have to go anymore. And I said, okay. So I stopped going. But I always prayed, and I was in Fellowship of Christian Athletes at high school, Ann Arbor Pioneer, across from the big house, and always enjoyed going to Mass, like Christmas and Easter, and prayed. But I just, you know, kneeling and the whole, you know, Catholic Church, I wasn't feeling it. So, but I still hung in there with my faith in different ways. And then in college at Michigan State, I went to St. John, and they didn't have kneelers, and they had, you know, like support group for gays and lesbians and, you know, transgenders. And I'm thinking, man, this is a Catholic church, right on. This is, you know, honestly more of, you know, the empathetic Christian Catholic I think I am. And I went through RCIA, Relationship with Christ in Adulthood, my junior year at Michigan State, on my own. I got my first communion and was confirmed at 20 years old on my own. And I love that I totally did it on my own and that my parents didn't force it down my throat like so many people do. And then a lot of times those kids don't come back. So that's kind of the backstory for me. And then in terms of this fundraiser, you know, I pray every night and I almost never ask for anything. I just kind of give thanks and I'm praying for different people. But that morning when I started crying and I put the $100 in the Facebook fundraiser, I feel like without a doubt that was a calling. I heard in my heart what to do, and I did it, and with the help of a lot of friends and strangers, we've done a ton of good, and it's been amazing. And one of the jerking stories I got was from a woman in New York City who lost her job, and I was connected to her by other people, and she sent me a note of thanks saying that she desperately needed this money, and that she's never known another Larry other than her dad, who was the reason she got into sports, and he passed away 10 years ago. And she said she thinks I was sent from him, from heaven, to tell her everything's going to be okay. Wow. And the first 5-6 times I read her text, I started bawling.
That's incredible, man. You know, when we do stuff like this, when we put ourselves out there, when we put our trust in the Lord, when we just go out there and follow what he wants us to do, sometimes we're surprised by how many people appreciate it and jump on board. Now, you've said you've been able to do several TV interviews. People have written columns about you, stories and interviews and everything. What to you has been maybe the biggest surprise? Like, oh, wow, this is really cool that someone noticed and they're talking about it, and now we're getting word out there and we're helping more people.
I mean, when I got a Woj bomb about this, I thought, whoa, that's pretty tough to beat. For your listeners that don't know, that Peter Wojnarowski, one of the top reporters in the world, number one in NBA, he's got like 2 million followers, and when he sends out a tweet, it's called a Woj bomb because it's a Woj bomb. Not too many people have his reach. So he shared it personally and professionally, and also is one of the rich and famous people in our business who has also donated to the cause. And, you know, Mitch Albom, Adam Schefter, Jason Whitlock, Dick Vitale, Desmond Howard, Barry Sanders, off the top of my head, have shared this on social media and or donated. And, you know, when this first started and it was kind of picking up along, and Jeff Seidel from the Detroit Free Press was the first one to reach out to me, I was hesitant at first because I said, I don't want anybody to think this is about me or I'm trying to make this about me. And he did a great job of making that clear. And then another week later, I talked to one of my mentors, we'll call him a life coach, social worker at the University of Michigan, who has counseled Desmond Howard, Tom Brady, Michael Phelps, and on and on. And he told me unsolicited, you have a time to make a difference right now. Do not hesitate to ask anybody for help. Do not feel guilty about any light being shined on you or this, because this is your chance to make something happen. And I kind of flipped the other way and reached out to friends and said, hey, like you, you know, if you want to have me on, I'm ready. I got a feel-good story that I think everyone needs during this pandemic in particular.
That's awesome, man. Well, tell everybody how they can contribute, because it's still ongoing, and if they want to reach out, if they want to contribute, if they feel that that's something that they would like to do, participate in, how can they find out?
The best way is for someone to find me on social media, Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. It's just my name, Larry Lage, last name spelled L-A-G-E. Listeners can also email me directly. My personal email is D as in dog, U, B as in boy, at umich.edu, like University of Michigan. That way I can give them my personal Venmo, Cash App, PayPal, What am I missing? There's another one. Zelle. People can even send me checks. Because I have sent money out via those four electronic means, and I've also sent checks, such as to a freelancer in Florida who lost tons of income when spring training folded the tents. People can also Google Facebook fundraiser freelance sports journalist, and it'll take you right to the link. I maxed out the length that a fundraiser can be on Facebook to 3 months, and wow, believe it or not, we've only got a couple more weeks for people to give that way. And when they give that way, Facebook or a third party takes a small cut. I'm not hating, I'm just saying. And then it takes about 10 bucks for that to hit my bank. And when this first started, I was such a rookie and so excited about the money coming in that I paid out more than had hit my bank. Wow. And I had to give a shout out to my credit union on Twitter for waiving a insufficient fund fee. But I think I've caught up. I have not done any counting lately because I'm kind of waiting for things to settle out here. Hopefully we can make a strong close with your listeners and others. And I would love to send, you know, even if it was just a 50 bucks to another 100 people on my list. You know, the money I've given people is not going to pay the mortgage per se, but it's some money to someone who has zero coming in, and it's a dash of hope, and hopefully instills or renews their faith.
Amen, man. Well, I love what you're doing. It's incredible. Great work out of you, Larry, and it's really an awesome thing. So keep on going. Really appreciate you spending some time. I know you got a lot of things to do, so go to it, man. Thank you so much, and we'll make sure everybody out there knows about this fundraiser.
All right, God bless you, brother. Peace.
That was AP sports writer Larry Lage. Again, you can Google freelance sports journalists fundraiser to donate right there on his Facebook page. You can also reach out to Larry on all of his social media platforms. I want to thank all of our listeners and our followers. Keep on sending those encouraging notes. I love seeing those messages. We all love seeing those messages. It's so great to know that you appreciate the show and everything that we're doing here with Faith on the Field. We'd love for you to keep sharing about our show to your friends and social media followers. Just let everybody know you love it, you appreciate it. Thank you for telling us, and just if you can, share it out to everyone. Big thank you to Doug Horton, our VP of Business Operations. Great job. All the work he does, incredible. Big thanks to Pastor Scott Foreman. Phenomenal work he's doing on our website, our podcast, and everything. Thanks to our producer, Ryan Lennox. Big thanks to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, and Joy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field show presented by Cairn University. For Remy and Kyle, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.